Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Dillon.
Hello.
How are you, Tim?
I'm good. My grandmother just passed away 2 days ago.
We asked you not to talk about
Very
that.
Very sad.
It's a comedy show.
I'm plugging her funeral. I will be at her funeral.
How many minutes are you doing?
I'll do some time.
Yeah.
Up top.
Up top? You're not gonna headline
Very
that?
Sad, 89 years old, killed at a Trump rally.
Oh, God.
Beaten senseless at a Trump rally for running her mouth. She had a big mouth, and she didn't know when to shut up.
When you write on Facebook...
She was a big liberal, yeah.
You write on Facebook about, yeah. And this is true, about yeah. where the funeral is going to be. Are we yeah. supposed to just show up?
No, I mean, she had friends, and there's other family members of mine.
Okay.
But I don't mind, you know, hey, you want to come and hang?
Right.
Maybe you don't know my grandmother, but maybe you heard me on a podcast. You think I'm funny.
I want to see your set. Like,
you
want to
come and hang?
Did you get any new material from this?
I mean, I'm sure I will, you know, from the funeral. I think she's really funny, and I think that she was very funny. Like when she was a big liberal. Me and her would debate politics, and she was a graduate of NYU. She would always say to me, she'd be like, "You're an idiot." I'd be like, that's not
I like
an,
her.
That's not an argument. She'd go, it is an argument. I'm a graduate of NYU. You're an idiot. That's the only argument. You
said she's your biggest fan, right?
She was. She was a huge fan.
Really?
Yeah, supportive, lent me money, would buy clothing, would let me live with her, would give me a car, like real support. Not
she
the kind
was
of
fan
support.
Fan or enabler?
Well, enabler, fan. Like the type of support my generation is this. Our generation is this. It's like, hey, man, you know, I'm thinking of you. Thinking of you. Good luck. Thinking of you. I tweeted you. Hey, I plugged it.
I retweeted.
You know? But it's not, she actually put her money where her mouth was and said, no, like, you need to get to a gig. Here's my card. Real support.
Wow.
You know?
R.I.P. So
she was part of the team. It's a very small team.
Mm.
You guys are on it.
All right.
But how long
give you money?
How long do you have left? You know what I
Jesus
mean?
Christ.
You don't know. No one knows. You look healthy, but nobody knows.
Well, fuck me for looking healthy. Nice to see you.
Good to be here.
Let me introduce to you Ralph Sutton. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you very much. You're the co-host of the SDR show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
You've also been
very
doing
specific.
You've also been doing your radio show, The Tour Bus, for 500 years.
500 years. Longer than you guys have been on the air. And to follow up, Tim, my father just had cancer surgery. So if we're going to do saying miserable things, I figured I might as well join
nice.
In on that. Does that make everyone feel better, too?
We should go around the room. Anybody else?
He's fine though. He's still alive.
He's fine. Yeah, okay. Thankfully, it's not as sad.
I win.
As a, you win. It's still
yeah.
early.
Now that's going to be the poll for today. Let's just keep campaigning throughout the show. You know how this goes.
You know what I do? I like Ralph already because I was playing. You know the great music I play during these before the show starts.
You're always praised for it.
His show is all about that 80s rock.
Yeah, and what they do today. So like the new 6 a.m. you played, the new Whitesnake.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer. There's a lot of great music out there. You just have to go look for it now, where it used to be thrown down your throat on radio, but you don't get to do that anymore. You have to go look for it. So the new 6 a.m. is a great record.
I never understood this. I was a fan of your Poisons, your Warrants. Why would, let's take Poison's third album, Flesh and Blood, huge hit. Then grunge comes. Poison's fourth album comes out. No one wants it because we moved on like it's fashion.
Right. Well, that's what MTV did, is they dictated the hot minute of one group, and then the hot next it was grunge, and the next it was whatever else.
But once you love the band, don't you follow them?
Those people that love the band, sure, they still go to the shows. You've been to a Poison concert, it's all people that looked great 25, 30 years ago. It's no new fans. But, you know, that's just what happened. It became cool to like grunge, at least for a little while.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just weird that people don't stick with.
In Europe, they stick with it. In Europe, their bands are huge back. If they were big back then, they're huge today.
I think we need to compare it to food. Remember when McDonald's was the biggest treat ever, and now you don't want to go there?
Okay, but it wasn't one day. Like, no chicken nuggets, Ma.
It was multi-generation McDonald's appeal.
But it's like a you're right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There are new fans.
Yeah.
Ah, 6 billion served.
Yeah.
Is it up to 12 billion yet?
Who knows?
They're not counting anymore.
I don't
know. They're nervous about it. Like, let's not tell them how many people were poisoning.
But music right now is very like, to comment on what you were saying, which I think is interesting. Music today, like when I was growing up, you would like something. You'd be a legitimate fan of a band or somebody, and you would go to their concert and stuff like that. Now it seems like they're all like there are these cult And it's like comedy too. I feel like everything's a cult, has a little cult. And then there's like 10 acts that have everybody. Rihanna, like there's 10 mega famous, you know.
You don't
and
think that's always been like that?
I don't know. I feel like
it's far more segmented now.
It feels a lot more segmented now.
I think it has to be because the barrier to entry is so low.
Right.
That anybody can start anything. Anyone could be a comic, a musician.
True.
Anything. So it doesn't matter. You could just put up a YouTube page for free.
Right.
And start garnering a little bit of a following.
Right. That's so much better than what it used to be. If you weren't.
I don't agree with that.
If you weren't what they thought was hot right now, they don't even want to see you.
Yeah, but now you have to wade yourself through so much shit to find anything good. That's the problem now. The barrier to entry is set so low that everybody's a photographer. Everyone's a DJ. You know, now you just need a phone and you can be a DJ. So many people.
Do you guys realize you're on a podcast?
Yeah, but that's different.
That's not different. It's exactly the same.
No, the barrier to entry is so low that anyone can start a podcast, but it still takes.
We're on a good podcast.
There's only 3%
established for a decade. This is not like a pod. Like, it's fine that you just say it's a podcast, but at the end of the day, you guys have run a great show for a very long time. You're acclaimed. You have a huge fan base. It's you took something and made it into something great.
That's all I wanted. Thank you.
Yeah. But not only that, I'm not shitting on a form of entertainment. It is a podcast is a form of entertainment. There's no barrier to entry now. I could start a podcast right now on my phone in 30 seconds, but it'll be crappy.
Yeah, but the thing is I would not have been able to turn on microphones and establish this back then.
No, it's good. Nobody's saying that it's not a good thing that there's the ability to do it, but like everything else, there are negative effects to the market being so flooded. That's the only thing. It's not – nobody's saying that we're going to – you know, let's wind the clocks back to ABC, CBS, NBC, and that's it. Mm. But the idea – yeah, if there's 400 channels.
Yeah, even what quantifies a hit now on television used to be in the millions. Like you needed 10 million fans to have a good show. Now if you break a million, you're doing amazing on network television.
Like my grandmother's dead. Everyone's dying. Yeah. It's annoying. Everyone's
what
dying.
What is going on
Chandling.
With that?
Every human being. Everybody's going to dying now.
I know. Ralph's dad like tried it. But
isn't that weird?
Like, it didn't take.
No.
It didn't
isn't
take.
It weird with social media? It's like every day. It's like this guy. People you haven't even thought of in years are like, remember that guy who played the butler on that TV show? He's dead.
Benson's dead?
Right. It's like a weird way to start the day.
Right.
With death.
You were a huge Patty Duke fan.
Huge.
Did you know that Patty Duke was Sean Austin's mother?
No.
Yeah, the guy from Rudy.
I didn't know that.
Look at that.
I hate Rudy, and I hate the implications that things are going to work out and that people should try.
Give up now. If you're listening to the show.
Those two things, people should try and that things are going to work out, are my biggest problems with what came out of Rudy and the orthodoxy behind Rudy.
How do you navigate?
And is orthodoxy a word is a better question.
It is a word. Orthodoxy is such a word.
I don't, it's a fake word.
You could look it up. Go look up orthodoxy.
I'll get right on it, buddy.
Absolutely a word.
How do you navigate?
How do I navigate?
Like you're going for something that you're.
Absolutely.
Is it going to happen?
It might. And maybe it's already happening.
I see.
You know, who knows what.
Okay.
What, I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, like it.
I just don't like, because here's the deal. The people that have that fucking positive Rudy attitude are always the worst people. You know, they're always like, I tried really hard and everything's great. And I killed my mom. But you know what? Like, it's always the worst. It's always the worst people that have that positive attitude. It's always the people who throw people under the bus, throw people on the tracks.
Did grandma tell you this?
I think you might be hanging out with the wrong people.
Right?
No,
a lot of comics.
It's always the people that are positive and talk about how great everything is. Those are the people you got to watch out for. That's the way I live.
Tim Dillon was talking to his mom. I saw this on Facebook, and Tim says to his dad, "Excuse me, Dad, Grandma died." And the dad says, "What? Grandma, the woman who paid your bills and raised me. Son, that's terrible. My dog Lucy died, and it's been a tough year. Thanks, Dad. You're the best."
Yeah.
That was a Facebook messenger on the wall interaction?
No, I was recounting a conversation with my father, who's just always, he's always him.
Is that real?
Oh, it's real.
What's wrong with him?
He's, you know.
Whose dog died in that
my
story?
My dad yours has or his? If you called my dad and went, his dog died. If you called my dad and went,
can I call
your son's been disemboweled, he'd go, that's really sad. He was pretty funny. But he has a tremendous ability to move on like nothing. Like, no, his own dad died. My dad, I was over his house the other day. He goes, you know, he's talking about his new wife. He goes, you know, we almost lost Christina. I said, what? He goes, yeah, Christina had food poisoning. They said she was 12 hours from death. We almost lost her.
Stop it.
Crazy. But he's saying it with no emotion, couldn't care. Doesn't matter. Would have moved on. Would have moved right on.
Is he? Do you have sociopath in your genes?
I mean, probably. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say full blown sociopath. I just think that like
you're on the spectrum.
There's a lot of like we're very selfish.
I think the fact that you have to quantify it as not full blown sociopath troubles me.
Like we're very selfish people. Like so, my father's like, but does it really affect me? Like my wife's dead, but it's my wife.
Is it working out for him? Is he a happy guy?
I mean, he's fine.
Okay.
He's happy. That's the thing. Sociopaths are the happiest people. Why wouldn't he be happy? Selfish people are the happiest people. How happy do you have to be to say something like this? Like, grandma died, and then turn around and go, you know, my dog passed. It's been a very rough year for me. That's the happiest guy you've ever met. You know, absolutely.
Right. I'll tell you who probably has the toughest in this room, though. And right away, I would argue it's Ralph. You're 6'6".
Yes, I am.
Do you bang your head off everything
all the fucking time? And I have a twin brother who's 5'7". How crazy is that?
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Did the twins movie come out at the
same time? Yeah, and it was the worst. And we finally stopped hearing it, but now they're doing a triplets one with Eddie Murphy, and it's going to start all over again. It's so fucking annoying. It's horrible.
I'm 6'2", and I bang my head off.
Oh, it's abysmal. Day. I want to come up with an invention that somehow warns you when something is above your head and you can't see it.
Oh, I know what that is. Eyeballs.
No, you're a short person. Only a short person would say that.
It is dumb short people that say that.
I don't get it. I really sincerely, just for a second, the eyeballs are in the same proximity to the top of your head that
not
mine
necessarily, because right where, but nothing's ever, how tall are you?
No, I'm not banging my head.
You're not banging your head, so it's a moot point.
I don't have the threat of it, but at the same time, have you not gotten used to it in your many years?
No, because when it's out of your field of vision, it's like if someone came up behind you and smacked you in the head and you said, why didn't you see that?
But if I had eyes back happening. There.
Not if it was over your head. It's right where you can't see it anymore. If you put your hand like this, you can't see it right now where your hand is.
Let me explain
and that'll
that.
Hit me.
Let me explain the hand why this is so offensive. It'd be like talking to a crippled person in a wheelchair and saying how nice it would be to sit down all
the
time.
Well, it's just such a tough.
That's a good point.
It's such a small, because people under 6 feet and people over 6'2 are disgusting. So it's such a small window.
Wow, that is a
window.
Small window.
It's such a small window.
And that's basically all women are disgusting by that moment, pretty much.
Yeah, to me, yes. But it is tough. Very hard.
You know what? I want to be as tall as you guys, only to eat more. I feel like it just goes into your length.
I want everybody to be as tall as us, so they shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and
they
so annoying. I'm hearing it all the time. Yeah. Pick this off a shelf or...
Yeah. Oh, it's a handicap.
I never ask a short person to bend down and pick something up for me.
Right.
So fucking annoying.
You're closer.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't want to bend over. Go do that.
It'll take me a day.
Yeah.
You can get it in a minute. Just touch it.
And I'm a size 15. Nothing ever fits me shoe-wise.
Look
it's
at that.
It's very, when you're
I have to get
person.
Double XL condoms. It's really a pain in the ass.
Very hard.
He says, I'm size 15. I know what they do. We have 12.
Yeah.
What?
I have to shop a very different way when I go shopping. Most people, you find something you like, and then you get it in your size. Right. That's very common. I just, what do you have in my size? Whatever is least offensive to me is what I'm buying.
You got to go to that big and tall. You know, you got
the worst stuff in the world there. It's all grandpa clothes. And it's not big and tall. It's just huge and fat. It's right? Not big and tall.
Big J was talking about that because I had a shirt on the stand the other night. And he's like, that's that DS. What is it? DSW? DSL or something.
Yeah.
That's the fucking store. And it's every guy who's a big dude goes to that store. Like, we all have to go to one store and we can all identify each other and be like, yep, because there's 10 shirts.
Do you think that maybe I can identify because I have a big ass?
No, because people like a big ass.
Yeah, you're getting praised for that.
Yeah, people like that.
Are people talking and I'm not listening?
There's no big gut enthusiasts that are like legit. Like, there are big gut enthusiasts, but they're like underground on the internet as they should be and shamed by their disgusting fetish. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the big butt people.
Yeah, you're always so open-minded.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? Do you guys not get into fights because
picked on me in my life.
Okay.
But the one or two times I've been almost in a situation, I acted like I was dying to fight and it just looks like you don't want to mess with me because I'm a big guy. So they backed down. Even though I was shitting inside, I acted like, all right, let's do this. We're going to fight. Let's go fight. And they always backed down.
Fights with you? You're 6 feet tall, right?
I mean, yeah, comedy shows, like hecklers kind of will go in and then I'll go in. It's never come like a physical altercation. But I think, I don't know, crazy drunk people don't necessarily take into account your size. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of crazy. I think it does keep me. I think walking down the street, it might stop me from getting mugged.
Yeah, because they're going to go to the 5'7 guy before they go to
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, but I don't know that. Like, I think it probably does keep me out of stuff, but I just don't know about it because it doesn't happen. I'm just walking down the street.
If I'm walking down the street and somebody's coming towards me and I get a little nervous about them, I kind of nod to somebody smaller than me.
Yeah. What does that do?
It shows them, hey, there's a weaker person.
Oh, you're kind of, you're pointing like you're just throwing a neon necklace at them
my
or something.
My friend,
like,
one of my comedian friends, Casey, who's probably been on the show, told me that when people, he'd walk through a bad neighborhood and he would just like pretend to talk to himself so that people would leave him alone. And I'm like, what do you mean pretend? You don't, I just talk to myself.
And it works.
And it works. People don't bother you.
In the 80s, I was dating a girl that lived in 42nd Street when 42nd Street was terrible.
Right.
And she was a dancer. She'd get off work at like 4 a.m. and I'd have to go over there to the house. And part would be leaving the train station, walking about 4 blocks through hell at that point. Right. So I would take my shirt off, twirl drumsticks, and act like a lunatic and look at every single person that was passing me. And that was my way to never get into a fight with anyone. Because I don't know if you guys are local, born here.
I was raised here.
42nd Street in the 80s was, at 4 a.m, was terrifying. And I was more concerned with getting the vagina. So I would just act like a lunatic and that I never got started on. I just would act crazy.
You worked also as a DJ in a strip club, right?
Yeah, for like 10 years, yeah.
Are you getting blown all the time?
Oh, it's crazy. I've had fivesomes with me and 4 girls, which would make him nauseous. But
five what?
Fivesomes.
Fivesomes.
Like a threesome.
But like a threesome. Better.
Like with five women?
Well, that would be a sixsome. But yes, your math is terrible because I'd be the extra person in that scenario.
I just want to know where the penis is. So it doesn't matter how many.
Yeah, exactly.
So 4 women and you.
More than once. And it was spoon-fed vagina for years.
Who's getting off on that other than you?
If they're bisexual, they all are. Why not?
All right, I didn't take that into account. Fuck me.
Yeah.
They weren't, but if they were.
If they were, I made them all pray in front of me. But at the time, no, it took me years to get used to actually interacting with normal women.
Right.
Because for 10 years, it was, you know, as I said, spoon-fed vagina. Girls that were only in town for a weekend and knew nobody but me. It was so easy to get laid. And then all of a sudden, I'm not there anymore. I have to actually talk.
What was easy about it? Like, everyone's just down?
It just up. I was many times leaving the club, a girl would just come up to me and goes, hey, do you want me to come on with you? It'd be very common. Blowjobs in the DJ booth and just, I mean, anything. It was all constant for 10 years.
What was the club? What was it called?
I was at a few different clubs. I was at here in New York. I was at Scores for a long time, at Pure Platinum, at Lace. I was bounced around for a few times.
Cool. Lace is still there, right?
Lace is still there. So is Scores.
Lace is like the last... Scores, I guess, too. Lace is like the last one in that Hell's Kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Lace was late to the party. They came in
right
after a lot of them.
Why would you quit?
It was, I mean, it's really the dregs of humanity. You know, it's horrible. It's late, late hours. Everyone, you don't work in a strip club as a girl because you are in a good place in your life.
No, but what about you? You sound like
it was
like
just
you
money. It was good money. When the money started changing, when there was like a law, once the laws of New York changed, where you couldn't have strip clubs anywhere anymore. They're all regulated to certain areas. Went from 5 strip clubs in New York to 50. The money just started dwindling and it wasn't worth it anymore. I used to make crazy good money.
What's crazy good money?
$1,500 a night, $2,000 a night.
That is crazy good money.
Cash.
Yeah, because what are you doing? You're going this
pushing buttons.
Song.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds so ridiculous to say, but there is a skill set. It is not easy
to know the latest Whitesnake album.
That's true.
The media's not covering it.
Yeah, exactly. No,
ladies
but there
and
is.
Gentlemen, Tiffany told me that she would love to shake her ass to this next song. I vetoed it because I really think that this will work better for this crowd. Am I right or wrong? Let's hear it for Tiffany.
Yeah, you would get fired immediately. When I worked, I would get 30 to 40% more revenue in the club. So I was hired to train DJs for a few years going around the country.
What's the secret?
I can't tell you. No, it was just keeping songs short, keeping the energy up, you know, not playing what you want, but play what works in the room, you know, promoting different things, whether it be dances or the food or whatever. And there's just a science to it. And I was able
sometimes
to
sometimes you go in these strip clubs. It's jazz.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's like, what are you guys doing?
He's got big bands. Glenn Miller.
Yeah. And you're trying to bust a nut in your pants. Will you go to strip clubs now?
Once in a blue moon. Like, I still have friends that work in that business. I've been out for over 10 years. But once in a while, like there's a someone's birthday or something like that, right. So I'll go. But I don't really enjoy it.
I hear in the South, Atlanta, strip clubs are like, that's a huge
thing. Yeah, the guys from the band Pantera, two of the guys that have invited me, they own a strip club in Texas that I've always wanted to go to, but I've just never went out there for that, but I've been dying to go.
Sounds violent. I'm not going to a Pantera strip club.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Do you go to strip clubs? That's not a...
Two, three comedy shows a night, and then I go home and go to bed. I do nothing.
You're not pursuing any kind of like sexual.
No, I'll meet people, hook up, but I'm not gonna go to strip club. That seems like such an insane thing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it just seems like an insane.
How do you hook up?
You meet people online, internet.
So easy.
You know, internet. Tinder, things like that.
Grindr.
Go to a strip club. I mean, Grindr. I try not to use Grindr because Grindr's like
sleazy.
Well, it's Grindr's like
for plebs.
It's like nuts. Not even that. It's just there's so many people that aren't real. Like there's guys that are fake, and there's people.
There's
that are
fake
trying to,
on every app. There's
I
fake
know,
for
but with
every
Grindr,
app.
It's insane. It's like people are trying to sell you. There's a real realtors are talking to me on Grindr.
Funny.
Like
you
like
you got a sweet ass, and I have a beautiful 3-bedroom on the
right. It's like insane. It's like this guy's on Grindr looking for roommates. I'm like, what are you doing? So I try to Tinder.
I've had no success on Tinder.
Yeah, Tinder sucks.
I have the best success on... I actually wrote an article. It was a website called Social Underground, right? How to pick up women using social media. And I do really well with like Facebook and Instagram.
How do you pick up women?
It's just so easy. I really think it is. It's just, you know...
For instance,
I want you to try to be 6'6", and look fit as fuck. Okay? That's what I recommend.
I use Tinder... by looking for the common friends. Once you see a hot girl with common friends, then you just add them on Facebook. You don't mention Tinder because then they don't know you're a creep on Tinder trying to get in their pants.
Right.
You're just a friend on Facebook that has a few common friends. And that's how you open the window.
Oh, gross.
It is gross. It's disgusting.
It's gross.
But it works like you wouldn't believe.
I have no other word. A lot of things work. Cosby can tell you.
That's not how you're going to meet Jackie Kennedy. You know what I mean? But this guy's not trying to meet.
Right,
you know
and Jackie
I mean?
Kennedy, they're probably not on Tinder anyway.
He's trying to meet like some good-looking chick who was like, remember the good days? And you're like, yeah, I do. Yeah. I was a DJ. I do remember the
exactly.
good old days.
How do you do once you're there?
I'm a very good closer.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It means I get laid often. I'm very good at talking women into that.
How?
Forcefully. No, I just...
threats.
I have a very eclectic background. I was a chef. I went to cooking school for a while. I was talking tech. I was wanted by the FBI for computer hacking. I have a lot of weird backstories in my life. I was a break dancer in Crush Groove, the movie. So I have stories.
So you give them your resume?
I have funny stories to tell.
Get some wet. You
See?
Bring out
He's already excited.
You go out break dancer.
If I do the
FBI
worm into the
hacker,
restaurant.
Break dancer, chef. Boom.
Exactly.
Wet pussy time.
See, he knows.
What's the hacking story?
I was wanted by the FBI at 16 for doing things that I shouldn't be doing on a computer.
Yeah.
What's that?
Just doing like charging things and changing grades and stupid shit like that.
What's fraud. Charging things? Stealing? Fraud?
Fraud. All bad
I
things.
I love that shit.
But I was
That's 15, great,
15, 16.
I like his list. They have a bunch of fags on the show who like that are like, I learned the poetry and I like, yeah. This guy did cool shit.
Yeah.
He's one of the only people you have on that does cool shit.
Oh, just a couple things. Major fraud.
Yeah.
Grades.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You know.
We had to get lawyers. It was really bad.
Something they call human trafficking. But
at
didn't
the
have
time,
that. Yeah.
We didn't have a name for it back then.
You didn't have a name. I was on the forefront of that. I wasn't, you know.
Do they take away your computer?
No, but we like shredded everything, got rid of everything, and... You know, I still am very tech savvy,
right. But
I don't do anything.
I thought he was going to say something faggy like Napster. I was illegally downloading music. He's like, no, I was selling babies.
Have you ever hacked into a girl's computer?
No, I don't ever do shit like that. I do silly things that, I mean, at the time, I
what
was
a silly
16.
Mean?
Taking control of your Visa account. Goofy
so, no,
shit.
Like what we did was.
I Goofy, was, like bankrupting.
15, 16. I had, you know, I think it was at 15, I forget what grade you're in, but let's say it's 10th grade, 11th grade, I don't remember exactly. But I had not spoken to all my friends from 7th or 8th grade back then. There was no conference calling that was normal back then. It would cost thousands of dollars. So we set up conference calls where we called all our old friends and charged it to someone else. Ooh. You know, things like that. Or we wanted, the worst thing we did, we wanted a brand new modem, which at the time was 2400 baht. I don't know how much you know about technology. Right. And we just charged it to a corporation and took it, you know.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing. You were an asshole.
I was an asshole. Yeah. I changed all my friends' grades. Like if they had an F and they couldn't show their mom because their mom would beat them, I would make a credit
card
said A, which only bought them a couple of weeks till they found out anyway, you know, but nonsense like that.
Do you miss it?
No, I still work with computers. You know, I don't miss the blatant illegal activity, if that's what you mean.
Like when Anonymous says, hey, we're gonna hack this system.
If yeah, no, I don't skills, miss any let of that. Me know.
Here's a question that I had. Is Anonymous a collective in the sense that it's one group of people, or is it just fucking anybody? Because me and my friends are having an argument. I was saying that Anonymous is like, they're a group. And my friend was like, no, you idiot. It's just a bunch of like loosely connected people.
No, it's a group.
It is a group. That's what I thought.
I mean, I'm not involved, but I'm
pretty sure.
There's
a great article, and I don't know where I read it, and I could have made it up. But there's a great article. No, this is true about a guy, and I didn't make it up, about a guy who was being recruited somewhere in Cali or in San Francisco. They left in public places, but places like tech, like people would hang out, like this weird like games to play. And every next level you got, you'd unlock the key to like the next thing. And finally he got to like this thing, this wall that he couldn't hack through. But supposedly he thought, he's like, if I could have hacked through that, he's like, that's when maybe I would have either been approached by the CIA or Anonymous or somebody. Like it was some corporate espionage, whatever it was they were trying to weed through people who had these skills and stuff like that. Are there collectives like that? I find that fascinating because I did read that article and the guy was like, well, I got to a thing and I just couldn't get through it. But he's like, you know, it was very tough. And he goes, it was clear that they.
What, as trying to.
As a hacker. Yeah, they said.
Well, you hear that. I don't know if it's true, but you do hear that they put out, like, if you get through a certain thing, like you hack into a certain system, instead of you going to jail, they make you work for them or they bring you into the. I've heard that.
NSA or something like that.
Exactly.
Were you watching Point of No Return?
No. Okay. It's a real article though, about a guy. But I just found that fascinating. And that kind of kicked off my thing where I was arguing with my friend. I was like, no, Anonymous is like a group because I was like, they're like the Illuminati of fucking. And he's like, no, you idiots.
They don't seem to follow through very well, though.
Well, that's what he was
saying.
There's
a lot of talk. Yeah, right. It's
unfortunate. That's what you want to do is taunt them right now.
Right?
That's a smart idea.
MJG is writing in, Tim, now that spring has sprung, what cheeses and soups should I be eating now?
Good question, psycho.
However, with that said.
How do you not know this?
Spring is a transitional time. Soups, do a chilled pea soup.
Okay.
Start doing
a chilled pea soup.
Really? Yes. It was Charlie Palmer served an Oriole for years on the Upper East Side, you pig, in a townhouse that you've never in your life been to. Really? Yes, really. It was good enough for Lauren Hurst. I think it's good enough for you. Here's the deal, and I apologize.
No, you don't. Wow.
No, but here's the deal.
I'm glad your grandma died.
She is too.
It is funny that like Hemdo is going to have a debate over pea soup.
No, but at the end of the day, it's like you. Here's the deal: the spring is very hard. It's whatever the weather is because it's going to be cold. It's going to be chilly. We got a cold front coming in. People aren't going to give up the heartier foods until it gets a little warmer. But I mean, all the spring stuff is about reintroducing you know kind of the fresh, you know, lighter meals. But the spring is all to me about lamb, about that Easter foods and things like that.
Really?
Fish.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Vegetables.
Are you amazed?
Yeah.
Or disgusted with me that I'm able to eat anything in any weather.
It's fine. And I don't mind that. Again, it's just.
You would eat a hot soup in the summer?
Don't even mind.
I would.
Right.
I love it.
Like that's. But you got to think about what vegetables are in season and what's happening. You know, strawberries towards the end of spring, the beginning of summer, strawberries come back. So I think that you want to eat what's going on now. And the restaurants that you go to should do that too. Every good restaurant to a certain extent will reflect what time of year it is.
MJG is writing in again saying, oh, God, I was just fucking around.
You know what, MJG? Maybe your whole life has been just fucking around, and maybe that's the problem. You know what Warren Buffett's never said? I was just fucking around with these stocks. He's never said that.
You didn't mention any cheeses, though.
But here's the thing. I love right now. I love a good blue. Mm-hmm. I love a good Roquefort. I love a good Gorgonzola.
Right.
I love a good Gorgonzola salad with some fresh shrimp and stuff like that. Brian Cooper on the island's got a great, you know, Gorgonzola, Roquefort, things like that. I love right now spring. I love a good blue. I love a feta. I love
the sharp,
I love that
the sharp cheeses.
I like a sharp, yeah, but it's, and then once it gets more summer, then we start looking at the lobster, the burrata, the, you know, the mozzarella, all the all that stuff that you can really kind of get into. But I think right now, stick with a nice hunky blue cheese.
How do you afford all this crazy food that I see on Instagram?
Oh, I work with Ralph, and he gets it done. I don't ask questions.
Ralph hands me a credit card and just goes, go wild, but just throw it in the river after. I go, okay.
You have 12 hours on that. Go nuts. What's the best cheese going today for you, Ralph?
You know, I'm not a huge cheese guy these days just because I'm going to sound like such a douche by saying this, but it's so fattening and disgusting. Mm-hmm. I don't really have it these days.
Is that silly, Tim?
No. I mean, it's people's opinion.
Everybody, it's okay to worry about your heart.
Everybody has a thing that they, like there are people that are like, to me, like they'll be like, do you ever ask any of these other comedians how they afford cocaine when they come here? No, right?
Actually,
no.
We do.
She's like, okay, good, so because far, none of them have an aunt. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, there are people that are like, oh, you shouldn't go out to dinner as much. But it's like, well, but they drink their calories. They drink their paycheck. Right. They fucking snort it, whatever.
Do you have a favorite restaurant in New York?
Oh, yeah, I've got Manhattan. A ton. I've got a ton.
All of them. I don't discriminate.
No, follow him on Instagram.
I can't say one. I just went to Carbone the other night, which I love.
Carbone is great.
I love Carbone. Yeah. But I mean, it's not my favorite, but I love it. Like, so that's, it sticks in my head. I love Quality Meat Steakhouse. I'm good huge, place. Huge into that. Love
you,
that.
You can't be tied down. You have to see other
restaurants.
No,
there's no one. There's no one. Right. Restaurant for me.
How do you feel about Ruth's Chris?
Ugh. It's a mall shithole full of gym teachers and their wives enjoying fucking filet mignon, which is the fucking art teacher retirement party cut.
Thank you.
It's disgusting.
Thank you. Dry aged bone-in ribeye. That's
straight
where you
up,
go.
Straight up. That's a fucking hedge fund cock. That's what that is.
Or skirt steak.
Ruth Chris is disgusting. It's just all these weird losers, these fucking nobodies.
It's a mall. Isn't it like a strip mall steakhouse?
Oh, I made 120 grand at Ernst & Young. I'm going to take my wife out. We just got a storter in Westchester on Long Island. We're going to go to Ruth Chris. Fuck you, you pig.
Okay, Jack's Steakhouse.
What is that, Bayside? What is this? What's
You're talking
the next?
About the island. Don't talk about What's Bayside.
Bayside's a shithole. Listen, at least the island's got the Hamptons. What does Bayside have? Armenians? Not even the good ones. No, I what do you mean? Like Uncle Jack's? Is that what you mean?
I don't know Jack's.
Maybe, yeah.
Uncle Jack's Steakhouse. It's fine. It's fine.
She doesn't know what she means. She's just
I like
trying
my
to
steakhouse. I like Peter Luger's. I like Smith & Wollensky's.
Peter Luger's.
Old school.
Peter Luger's is great.
Yeah, Peter Luger's is great. I love Smith & Wollensky's has the best piece of coconut cake in the world.
Peter Luger is where people go to celebrate their birthdays.
Yeah, but Peter Luger does have a trash clientele, but it is good product. Like, that steak is the best porterhouse in the city. But you do have Tony from Massapequa going there.
Do you feel bad you never got to try Trump steaks?
Yes.
They're in the league all their own.
Yes, I do. They're all shaved like his head. Right. You know?
Eden writes in, hey, Keith and the girl, I just wanted to thank you guys for getting me through high school. I'm a senior, and listening to your show the past 3 years has helped me realize that not everyone you're friends with have to share the exact same ideas you do. Keith's personality at first really bugged me, and I mostly just listened to Hemda. Now I find you both so funny and literally geniuses. Your personalities are so different and make for an awesome, well-rounded show.
See? Pea soup.
More youngins should hear you. Thanks again. Well, let me tell you something, Eden. I'm going to forgive you, assuming you learned a very valuable lesson. I'm extremely thought out, and I'm always right. Okay?
Eden, diversity is a weakness and not a strength. And you need to put together...
Assimilate now.
You need to put together a team of like-minded people who help you reach your goals. Cut the bullshit. Thanks.
When are you going to run for president?
I have been.
Okay. No one's saying nothing. This media blackout is real. And people are being paid off.
I have been.
The state of Oklahoma is investigating a doctor for administering what he calls the Jesus shot. Now, I would love that. Do you have bad knees being so tall?
I don't have bad knees, but I have bad feet and a bad back.
Okay. Dr. Michael Lonergan has a total of 8 federal convictions of mail fraud, tax evasion, insurance fraud out of Ohio. Those convictions prompted Ohio officials to revoke his medical license in 2005, but the Oklahoma Medical Board gave him a second chance, because why not? What do they got going, tornadoes? The Jesus shot is a concoction that the doctor invented himself and refuses to give out the ingredients, and it will stop all pain.
Come on.
Wow, sounds like heroin, maybe.
It only costs $300. $300. I get a knee shot at $650.
That sounds amazing.
But you have no idea what's in it. It's just supposedly going to cure pain.
Right. He won't say.
That's a problem.
Another doctor says there's actually three things in the shot we figured out that were approved by the FDA for inflammatory.
And 12 things that haven't been.
Right. There's dexamethasone.
Oh.
Kenalog.
Good stuff.
And B12, of all things.
Oh, boy.
Well, B12 would cure you right up all your aches and pains. Doctor, what's in it? I can't say. But you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Why can't he say?
Because it's a family secret.
Does it have to be a Jesus shot? I'm Jewish. Can it be a Moses shot? I don't know if I want to take it.
Honestly, it has nothing to do with religion, but I insist on calling it Jesus shot. Now, do you still want it?
Jesus was a Jew, though.
That's true.
Hey, however you get through it.
He would have hated this whole thing.
I need you to acknowledge it's a Jesus shot. Then you may have it.
I would not inject myself with anything that I'm unaware of. That's just me. I'm very right. A control freak, so it's not for me.
Patients of a 10-year-old Oklahoma boy couldn't figure out why he had persistent stomach flu. Then doctors took an x-ray of him, and they found out that he was swallowing magnets. He swallowed 8 magnets, and the magnets attracted to each other.
Burn him. Clearly a witch. Move on.
If I'm the dad, I'd put like those letter magnets.
It'd be cool if things could stick to his body. That would be awesome.
That would be amazing. But take him in the backyard and light him on fire. You gave birth to a warlock.
Do you just wait until he shits it out now?
They cut him open. He's dead.
Well, you give him up for adoption. That's what you do.
Yeah, that kid's going nowhere.
You give him a Jesus shot and you pray.
Jesus.
And that's it. We put these polls up. Is big media in the pocket of Hillary Clinton?
Of course.
65% of our audience say yes. Sure. Are you bouncing for Bernie? The poll asking, are you supporting Bernie Sanders? 78% of our audience are.
Wow, that's a big audience. Jesus, really?
That is huge. Are you going out to vote, though? Make sure that you're voting.
The 78%?
No, yeah.
But they're giving thumbs up. That's plenty.
Yeah. I mean, that's 78% of a huge...
Right.
We all know what 78% means, right? Okay, we can move on.
It's a plurality.
We know how high that is, yes.
Donald Trump, of course, retweeted a picture that somebody made of the two wives, Donald's wife and Ted Cruz's wife, next to each other, saying the images are worth 1,000 words. Who do you want to be the first lady?
Whoa.
The gorgeous model or the disgusting pig dog?
Alligator woman.
Alligator woman. Now, of course, it's not a... flattering picture by any means, right? But Donald Trump says, just take a look. Take a look.
I got to ask you about this back and forth between you and Senator Cruz about wives. After saying that you were going to spill the beans about Heidi Cruz, you retweeted an unflattering picture of her next to a picture of your wife.
I thought it was a nice picture of Heidi. I thought it was fine.
Come on.
I thought it was fine. She's a pretty
come on. I like that, though.
Yeah.
Come on. You know it's hideous. Hmm. The woman, it's just a bad picture and she looks vomitous. Just admit it.
But when a journalist is out of words for you and his response is, come on.
Right. God, dude.
Yeah.
A picture of your wife.
I thought it was a nice picture of Heidi. I thought it was fine.
Come on.
I thought it was fine. She's a pretty woman.
You're running for president of the United States.
Excuse me. I didn't start it.
Okay, that's,
I didn't start it.
But sir, with all due respect, that's the argument of a five-year-old.
I didn't start it. No, it's not the argument.
Yeah, the argument of a five-year-old is he started it.
You would say that. That's the problem with our country.
Every parent knows
that's
a kid
not
who
a five-year-old.
Says he started
Excuse me.
It.
No. That's the problem. Exactly that thinking is the problem this country has. I did not start this. He sent out a picture, and he knew very well it was a picture.
He didn't send out a picture.
It was
an
a picture of a cover story. Anderson.
Super PAC.
It was a
it
cover story of a picture taken by Antoine Verglas, one of the great photographers of the world, by the way. My wife was a very, very successful model, like one of the most. It was a picture for the cover of GQ, which is a very good magazine.
This wasn't
you
even a,
it wasn't even
What is he talking
I,
about?
I got to say I'm with Trump on that. I really am with Trump on it. He didn't start it. Cruz's people started it.
What did they send out originally? People, I don't even know.
They sent out a near naked or naked picture of Melania and they were like, "How'd you like this to be a first lady?" Again, it's like if you support people's right to get naked as I do, you know, when you have fundamentalist, because this puts you guys in this odd position. You guys are more liberal than not. And you guys are, you know, Cruz is coming out with these evangelicals basically being like, look at this whore. Mm-hmm. And Trump is like, well, your wife's gross.
You're talking about potential presidents of the United States.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day,
both suck.
They both have issues. But I in this particular instance, I'm not going to get with a bunch of Bible thumpers trying to shame Melania Trump.
Right.
Fuck that.
And of course he knew. It's your super PAC that's putting this
out. You know what's going on. And Trump knows she looks ugly here too.
But who cares who started it? Do you really want him to run the country like that?
No. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. I think this is nothing. His feud with Megyn Kelly is disturbing because I work at Fox, do the Red Eye Show like twice a month, and I've heard from people there. It's unprecedented for a presidential candidate to have a longstanding beef with a news anchor who he's like almost quasi-threatening and getting his people to go after. And I think Trump has some solid political points. Like, I think I don't think his policies are that crazy. And some of them are insane, but some of them aren't. And I think when people call him Hitler, it's really disrespectful to 6 million Jewish people who died. I don't think he's Hitler. But I do think when you look at like the evidence of his kind of like fascist qualities, it is like this attitude of like going at Megyn Kelly for no reason and then saying things like, well, we should be able to sue the press if they write things we don't like.
He also says that you should take out the families of people who break the law.
Didn't he also say that women should get arrested if they have an abortion if it's found illegal?
I don't know what he said.
I know what he said. That's what he's saying.
He said some ridiculous
things. Yeah, but these ridiculous things don't trump his non-ridiculous things.
Here's the deal.
Don't take away.
Hillary Clinton, the candidate that you are going to be forced to support, is a warmonger. She wants the United States of America to continually run the world in terms with their military power. She wants...
Why are we talking about Hillary when we're still talking
because
about
Trump? Because you know she's going to be the nominee. And you're going to have to support a person who's in the pocket of Wall Street, who presided over the largest period of mass incarceration in the country's history.
I'm not on the side of Hillary. I'm just saying...
Well, you're going to have to be.
If the choice is between Hillary or Trump, who are you going for?
I don't know. I mean, maybe third party. I don't know because I don't like Hillary Clinton and I don't like Donald Trump. But
right,
that's the problem.
That's what I don't like either of them either.
I don't like either of them, but at the end of the day, here's my problem. It's easy for you guys to bash Trump, and we can all bash Trump all day, but you know, politics is this game where it's like Trump's words are disturbing. Hillary's actions are disturbing. She voted for the Iraq war. She authorized torture. This woman has taken money from the banks that she wants to regulate. She thinks that system is the way that you should. So at the end of the day, Donald Trump has released a foreign policy that is much more like Ron Paul. It's much more like, well, let's stay out of the world. But yeah, he's winning votes of racists. He's winning votes of bigots. Sure. But at the end of the day, you know, it's the same way there's people at Bernie Sanders rallies that would say disgusting things like, let's wipe Israel off the map. And that, you know, and all of these things that are crazy.
Where are you getting that in Bernie?
Because I've talked to Bernie Sanders supporters that say things like, I think the Israel runs the policy of the United States and that the nation of Israel should not have a right to exist. And that's from people that support Bernie Sanders. I mean, that's...
But why are you shitting on other candidates just to make sure that Trump is not a demon
I'm
completely?
Not shitting because it's easy for you. It's intellectually lazy for you to shit on a guy that everybody is shitting on and not look at...
But we're also shitting on Hillary and we're also shitting on Cruz.
Well, then that's fine as long as
you're
doing
that.
That's
what he was doing also, wasn't he?
No,
I'm shitting on everybody.
No, when we shit on Trump, it's because he's Trump. We don't shit on Trump compared to Hillary or compared...
Politics is the art of compromise. So at the end of the day, if you are going to support somebody... You're going to...
First, let's support Bernie. First, let's not give up that fight.
That's fine, and that's your fight to fight. But you're losing. You're failing. He's
no,
not...
No, I'm not.
You are failing.
It's going to be Hillary, and
it's
going to
be
Trump.
Hillary, and he's won a bunch of states, but at the end of the day, the way the party is set up, the way the process is set up, maybe if Bernie Sanders has presidential aspirations, he should have been getting himself into the press years ago. He should have had more of a national... image than he does because nobody knew who he was till 6 months ago, and that is his fault. He should have been more of a national figure. He should have led these debates earlier.
Isn't that more the fault of the two-party system?
No, because
that's not changing anytime soon.
That's
anyway.
Not changing anytime soon. Why is
he just altered it a little bit?
Well, he saw an opening, and I respect that, and I think he's a good guy.
Isn't Ross Perot the last viable third-party candidate we had, and that's like 25 years
Nader,
ago?
Ralph Nader, probably you would say took us some votes, but. At the end of the day, What people are going to learn from Bernie's thing, if he does go down, is that at the end of the day, politics is a lifelong thing. And if you have any aspirations, like at the 11th hour to slip in and go, I want to be president, like at the end of the day, Bernie should have been leading these debates more frequently than he had been. Elizabeth Warren, we all know who she is. So when Elizabeth Warren may run for president, everybody's going to say, well, we knew who Elizabeth Warren was. But Bernie Sanders, we didn't really know who he was. And Elizabeth Warren has gotten her name out there in the two-party system. So it is. I think you got to put a little bit of the responsibility on Bernie.
There you have it. Okay.
Sorry. Wow.
Sorry.
That's ridiculous.
Shit just got real, folks.
That is so ridiculous.
Chemda brings up the point that is so ridiculous.
Who cares?
That was a good point.
All right. So
well,
take
that. She's shitting on pea soup. She's shitting on, you know.
On chilled
pea
soup.
Well, you guys
chilled.
Have yes men in here all the time. You have liberal comedians that come in here and tell you guys, yes, you're right. Bernie's great, and I love, you know, what. And it's just like,
but
you know,
you're like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm Tim, and I gotta tell it like,
yeah,
it is.
I'm like, Hitler had points, and let's go to them. I'm Tim, and let's talk about Hitler.
Here's in regards to the wives of Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. Ted Cruz says, "Look, don't bother going after my wife. Go after me." And here's how he dramatically says it.
And if Donald wants to get in a character fight, he's better off sticking with me because Heidi is way out of his league.
Now, you know he practiced that in the shower. And he's right. Like,
and he still stuttered it.
And
yeah.
It still came out horrible.
Right. He's like, God damn it. He rips off his mask. There's a lizard underneath. Fuck. Now, here's what's interesting. I'll play it one more time.
And if Donald wants to get in a character fight, he's better off sticking with me because Heidi is way out of his league.
This is Michael Douglas from the movie The American President.
You want a character to debate, Bob? You better stick with me because Sidney Ellen Wade is way out of your league.
Wow.
If he would have said it like that, I would have been on his side. That was really emotional.
That would have been amazing.
Oh, Lord. Well, good job.
I like Trump. It probably would have been like, no, you can go after Melania. She's fair game. We're all fair game.
It doesn't matter. We're just people. All right, look, let me mention some things, right? KeithandTheGirl.com/weekend. It's my yearly stand-up show. It's April 15th. Get your tickets now. We also have virtual tickets. You can watch it and hear it anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. That's on the 15th. The 16th is VIP night. Same thing, virtual tickets as well. It's all our VIP hosts. They'll be doing a show on stage, and it's fantastic.
Is it QED?
Why would you just guess a place?
I don't know where it is. I'm just curious.
It's at Livestream Public in Brooklyn.
Lovely.
But that was a good guess because QED is a place.
It's a place. Livestream
Public.
Is
it a good guess solely because it is a place?
No, I did a show with you guys there once.
Yeah, you might have been there again.
I know.
Right. I tried to find Tim earlier today. I went to a grocery store that I knew he went once.
Yeah. I mean, Tim's heard of groceries. Maybe he's here.
Keith, your wife is writing in.
Okay.
Bernie has been in politics for 32 years, more experience than Hillary, and he's passed more laws through Congress. Bernie has been blacked out of the media who have picked out Hillary as their nominee.
How about that defense contractor who put jobs in his state and Bernie didn't say anything about that? How's about that?
You talk to my wife like that again, you're dead.
I mean, think about it.
That was pretty good.
You know, like, how about that? I mean, is that not hypocritical to say that, you know, to criticize American imperialism and our foreign policy, but except you don't have a problem with a defense contractor when they put jobs in your state? Is that not hypocritical?
And if I'm playing devil's advocate, I don't think his statement was that. It was more that he didn't get into the presidential game early enough.
Yeah, he didn't get into the presidential.
Not that he didn't have a political background.
Yeah, well, nobody was saying that he doesn't have a political background. Elizabeth Warren, then Elizabeth Warren is, why isn't the media blacking out Elizabeth Warren? Because Elizabeth Warren is taking a leading role in many of these debates. And I think that we all.
I don't get why Hillary would be picked over Bernie. Because she's been around?
Well, she's been the Secretary of State.
They're still supporting her, right? They're still lifting her.
Yeah,
they're
the media's in the tank for Hillary, but they're also in the tank for anybody who's not Trump. The media hates Trump as much as they hate Bernie.
Don't get off it.
Yeah.
Why are they picking Hillary over Bernie?
Because
she's
an establishment candidate. Absolutely.
How is it Bernie's fault if he's doing what he needs to do right now?
Because years ago, he should have taken more of an active role in national debates. He should have done more.
But that doesn't mean the media gets to shut him out.
No, I think the media is doing a deplorable thing, but the media is
so why are we blaming Bernie?
I'm not blaming. I'm saying
you are blaming Bernie.
I'm saying when he looks back and he says, I wonder why I didn't get more votes in the South.
No, I'm saying why is We're not asking when he looks back. We're saying, why is the media...
Because it's run by establishment people.
Okay, so then why are we blaming Bernie?
Well, we're not blaming Bernie. We're saying that if Bernie was a bigger national figure, he would have, you know, maybe...
You just blamed Bernie like three times.
Yeah, if he was a bigger national figure, he would be able to communicate his message more effectively to the groups like blacks and Latinos where he has like not a lot of support. People are finding out about
while it. The media is blocking him.
No, I'm talking years ago when he could have taken a role. You know, where was Bernie Sanders 2 years ago?
Where is the media now?
Elizabeth Warren has been all over the press leading these debates. We know who she is. She's, you know, why is the media not blacking her out? She's to the left of Sanders. So at the end of the day, if it's a corporate media is the problem, I think a little bit of the problem might be that, you know, Bernie Sanders hasn't been this major figure up until right now.
A lot to chew on. Thank you. All right, let's do some fun polls. Ready?
Yes.
Do you wish Kendra Wilkinson was your mom? We asked to put this poll up when we found out that Kendra Wilkinson, the Playboy model, allows her 6-year-old son to look at her pictures because what's the big deal with nudity? 11% of our audience says, yes, I would like to be the mom.
And I don't even know what she looks like.
She's hot.
Can I make that decision first?
If
she's hot, then maybe I would say yes.
She is hot, so then, you know.
Well, we all have different tastes. Right. You know, my taste might be different than yours.
No, everybody thinks.
Okay.
But those are all good points.
Right. It's a given. But yeah, if she is hot, you might want to be jerking off to your mom. Did the cat so this poll, did the cat actually steal the underwear or was she a escape cat? This person that had a cat would go out into other people's homes, supposedly. I don't see how. Steal underwear and socks and bring it back to the person's house.
Right.
Matching socks?
I don't know that. How could that be possible? That a cat is getting into other people's houses.
And specifically going for underwear, even though underwear comes in a lot of different shapes.
Right.
Right.
He's doing it. He's like, oh, also my cat's into underage porn, I noticed.
I mean, it's probably the person.
It's probably the person.
Probably the person.
Yes, the cat stole the underwear, or no, the owner is the creep. The owner is the creep, 65%. Does your home need an organizer? I had my wife hired an organizer for our house. It comes up about me doing this show. And she goes, oh, are you Keith from Keith and the Girl? And I go, yeah. She goes, oh, anyway, is this underwear clean or dirty? Like, I don't know. I think you have to leave. I know, Ralph, you had somebody come in your house, a handyman.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, hey, I know you from your radio show.
Right.
Do you say like, yeah, but you can't tell anybody. I don't know how to put up a shelf.
No, I don't care. I don't. Right. I'm Jewish. So we're all bad at anything like to do with handyman work. It's part of the life. I don't care. I have no, on SDR, we talk about everything. You know, there's nothing. I will embarrass myself on a daily basis. Last week or the week before, a porn star came in, Rebel Lynn, very hot young girl that I had met in LA.
Wait, like everyone thinks she's hot or?
Yeah, everyone. Everyone apparently. And I tried to get in her pants extremely unsuccessfully on Facebook after we met.
But you're so good at this.
Yeah. And we decided to just read the entire interaction of my horribly embarrassing texts on the air.
Where'd you go wrong?
It was terrible. First of all, she's part of a threesome and she's obviously very damaged, but whatever. But, you know, she lives with a couple and they're all a group. So the reason why is that she needs their approval to go meet someone else, which is insanity. But
that's not insanity.
I think it's insanity. Yeah.
Because you didn't get any.
That too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, I have no problem being embarrassed in front of, and that's part of my life. I think it's great to be an open book.
When you would have a porn star come on your show, is it weird at first because you just saw Five Dicks Inside Her?
You know, I don't watch porn. That's what's weird. Oh, yeah? I really don't. And Jay gives me shit for that all the time because he thinks I'm weird. But I don't enjoy watching porn. When I watch it, my reaction is, why am I not fucking that girl? And it bothers me. So
did
I just
you
don't
used
watch
to
it.
Watch?
Never really? Watched porn.
Yeah. As a kid?
No, never did.
Magazines or anything like that?
I mean, magazines, I think when I was younger, you know, but actually like putting in a porn, I've never done it.
Really. Oh, really?
But if you were Kendra Wilkinson's son.
Then I would. Yeah, but just her.
Her 6-year-old son looking at his mom's fucking.
Snooch?
I mean, it's gross.
It's supposed to be for 18 and over.
And it's not just you're walking around naked and we shouldn't be ashamed of our bodies. You're trying to make me come in those pictures.
It's a sexual.
Does a kid even want to look
at it? I don't think the 6-year-old is looking at it that way.
No.
What 6-year-old thinking about coming in his pants?
I
never wanted to see my parents naked. What the fuck's wrong with the kid?
I thought about. I didn't know what it was.
How did this even come up? The kid was like, "Mom, you got any pictures? Got any pics? How did this come up?
I'm in the magazine again, son.
Yeah.
I wanted to have sex with my kindergarten teacher.
How old are you in kindergarten? Like 6 or 7?
At 6, you could be very sexual.
Really?
Kids masturbate.
I was.
Yeah, you have to like teach
them
not
to do it
in public.
Maybe I was a late bloomer. You were a really early bloomer.
Thank you.
Do you watch porn?
Not as much anymore.
Because it got boring or because you just...
I watch some porn, you know. I mean, I watch Top Chef. I watch the Food Network. I'll go to some eater.com. I go to some blogs. There's a melted cheese blog I like. But no. It gets boring and formulaic. Gay porn's weird. So it's just a formulaic kind of weird thing that...
Why? What's formulaic about gay porn?
I mean, it's just like...
How is it different than regular porn, which is all formulaic?
Well, it's not, I don't think, different. But the gay porn is always like these dudes who are like, yo, I'm not gay. Yo, I'm not gay. And then they fucking fuck in like a helicopter. And I'm like, you can't get turned on anymore. I know it's all fake. Like, I know this is all completely fake. These guys were like, we've never fucked before, but watch. Watch how acrobatic.
How fortuitous
fucking.
The camera happens to be here the first time we're going to fuck.
Yeah. It's like, and some of them don't even like, there's no natural thing. It's like a guy will be like, there'll be some, there's like a fat guy off camera who sounds disgusting. He just sounds disgusting. He's like, it's $300 if you top, but it's $400 if you bottom. As like that $100 is a huge difference with that being the thing, you know? And the guy's always like, well, it's $100. I mean, I guess my girlfriend won't mind. What? Mateo Lane has a great joke about it, how it's like a guy who's like, some guys off camera's like, listen, guys, you've never done this before, right? And then the guy's like, no, I never have. I hope my girlfriend, you know, it's like, see, it's just weird.
Anyway.
Is it weird that he had me at the $100? I was ready to do it.
If you're curious, 56% of my audience needs an organizer.
An organizer. There's that new app now that does it also, right? There's an app that it's called like Ask Alfred. And you hire a personal assistant and organizer.
And what? You like put up your underwear in front? Like, do I need
they come to your house.
Stuff?
It's like when you need something, you just push the button and they come over.
Oh.
It's like an Uber for an organizer.
I get you. I need it now. Have you sent or received pictures of private parts? Yes or no?
Guys?
Received thousands. Sent, never.
I've sent a few times to the Sanders campaign.
And with the hashtag get into politics sooner, you douche.
And I've received also from their campaign, which I appreciate.
And stop having cold pea soup while you're at it.
Yeah. Will you send a dick pic, Tim?
I mean, probably not anymore. But yeah. I mean, I used to like, you know.
I never thought anyone wanted to see it. Like, it's just that, you know, like guys, we're more visual. We loved looking at naked girls usually. Girls are not as visual. So they don't, no one ever wanted, no girl, no straight girl is saying, please show me a picture of your dick.
I would want to see it just to know what I'm getting
into. Yeah, to show your friends
into.
And joke with. I don't think you really want to see it.
I'm not masturbating to just your dick. I don't give a shit. But, you know, like you get to see like how our body is kind of, but we don't get to know what's down there until
we're there.
Are
you really going to not have, I mean, most dicks fall within a 30% range. Is that really going to make a difference of whether or not you're going to sleep with a guy?
Depends. Is his attitude sucky and your dick is
also
picture.
Sucky? I don't know.
It's a picture. You could tell the way they light it if they're a dickhead.
If it's in sepia tone, it usually means.
Attitude. 73% of our audience has sent or received pictures of private parts.
You know what? I thought about this. Not only have I sent and received, I also did it before you could send and receive digitally.
You sent it in the mail?
Pictures.
What? How the fuck did you do it?
You took pictures with a camera and then you...
And you had to go get it developed?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh my God.
You are dirty.
I like it.
She wants the more that sees it, the better.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but like, that's how you did it.
You pointed at which guy you wanted to develop your pictures.
No, old man. No. All right, let me mention this. Tim Dillon, he has a Twitter account. It's at Tim J. Dillon. Yeah, well, what are you going to eat for dinner? Yeah, well, next thing you know, it's going to be fall. Then what?
Yeah, if you want to know what to eat for dinner, ask me. Or tell me what you're planning on eating, and I'll tell you what it says about you.
There you have it.
Ooh, I like it.
Ralph Sutton, you can follow him on Twitter at I am Ralph Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N. Also check out his podcast, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show with Big J. Okerson and the radio show, The Tour Bus.
Yeah, and let me say one thing. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're launching a network called Gas Digital Network.
Okay.
We're banding together about 6 or 7 shows, and you could sign up for a free trial right now, gasdigitalnetwork.com. It's a Dave Smith, who you might know from...
Love Dave. Great.
Yeah, he has a show called Part of the Problem and High Side Radio, Real Ass Podcast, and the SDR Show. And we're signing about 5 more shows up to launch. I think we're shooting for May 1st. And you can sign up now for a free trial right now, guestdigitalnetwork.com.
There you go.
Can I also just say that I've now taken over the hosting of a Sunday night show at the UCB East Theater called If You Build It. It's okay. A great show. Kara Klank, who's now in L.A., is running the show. I'm hosting it every Sunday night at 8 o'clock. So if you want to come kill me, it's a clear shot.
Right.
It's right by my house, so maybe I'll swing by.
Come on by.
Maybe. What does it say about me if I eat fajitas from the creek?
That you're a down ass bitch and you like to party.
but I substitute the rice for French fries.
That you're even more of a down ass bitch.
All right.
I'm gonna follow you on Instagram and see if I agree with your food choices.
I got some serious ones. Yeah, that's the one thing. She might hate a lot of what I believe in, but the food, she's on board.
I love it. Right. It's drool worthy. Even
best pastrami in Manhattan.
You know what? I would have said Katz a while ago. My uncle introduced me to this crazy deli, and I forget the name of it, but it's on the Upper East Side, but where he lives, and it's just this. It's a crazy deli that's amazing, amazing. I was a devotee of Katz for a long time.
Better than Carnegie, this Upper East Side.
Carnegie's. Like,
have you
whatever.
Tried the one on Avenue A
between Second Avenue?
No, Avenue A between 12th and 13th. It's just called East Lower East Side pastrami or something. It is, to me,
is
the best I've ever had.
I'll get you the name of this. My uncle's a restaurant guy. My uncle's in the Smith & Walensky's restaurant group called The Meats. He's the director of operations. He put me onto this pastrami place.
Not to cut you off, but can you be more specific?
Yes, his name is Kevin. But the pastrami.
Where was he born and what's his ethnicity?
Pastrami at this place, this deli in the Upper East Side was insane.
Right, but we don't know where it is, so take that with you, folks. All right. Thank you, guys. KeithandTheGirl.com.